Enterprise Solutions.
Now we're going to continue the conversation about the auto bailout and more of the week's top headlines on today's Reporters Roundtable. We've got Deirdre Childress. She's the editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend Magazine, and Chandra Thomas, a freelance reporter in Atlanta. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
So, Chandra, we just spoke with Jerome Vaughn about the bailout, and he framed an issue that a lot of folks are talking about, which is that some Southern senators voiced opposition to the plan, including both of Georgia's senators. So do you think there are regional differences over how people perceive the need for an auto bailout?
Well, obviously, in the northern states, like, of course, Michigan, because that is the main industry that is going to be a major concern. I think, but just generally nationwide, I think that the sentiment that I'm getting from the people that I'm speaking to is that no one is opposed to the actual bailout itself. They want to save jobs and they want to ensure that the economy does not continue on a downward spiral. But I do think there are some sticking points that are causing a breakdown in negotiations. And also, I think there's a big issue with making sure that this money is just not handed over, and that there are some stipulations and looking at major changes in the auto industry, particularly as it relates to more dependable, fuel-efficient vehicles, and also responding to the environmental issues.
Deirdre, from your perspective of seeing how people think about this in Philadelphia and what Philadelphia's interest is in this, what are you getting a sense of?
Well, I think some people have chalked off what happened last night to some mean-spiritedness, and I think that when you take a step back, you realize that what happens in parts of our country affect all of our country, and that our country's markets then begin to affect the rest of the world. So I think that when you step back and take a broader view of how important this industry is to so many things, you see what the real impact's going to be. I was surprised this morning to hear that because of the lack of advertising from the auto industry during the daytime, that daytime soaps are now being affected, of all things. And you don't realize that actors' salaries are being cut. And that goes right into the heart of the economies in New York and California. So when you think about this in a small way in terms of, well, you know, the Midwest is suffering or Detroit is suffering, you really need to look further than that. And you need to look at the impacts across the country and eventually across the globe if the current administration doesn't come up with something that will save two of these three automakers by January.
When you give us a little taste of how people are doing in general. I mean, I think every place is dealing with its own personal crisis in terms of what it looks like, what this horrible downturn looks like for members of our communities. But Deirdre first, Philadelphia, what are the issues that are coming to the surface as we go through this economic crisis?
So many people trying to figure out how to get through the holiday season with a positive attitude. That has been a very big deal here. I mean, you go to the shopping centers. Last night, one of the malls had a men's shopping night, and they talked about having beer and pretzels out, and they do this every year. And last year, people didn't even come to drink the beer. It was pretty amazing. And I think that when you get into the households in our area, and people are talking to their children about, hey, don't expect anything big. I was talking to a woman this morning who said, my son is getting one video game and he kind of understands that he's getting the one game. I think that is where this is all playing out. It's playing out in our living rooms. It's playing out in our homes. It's playing out with our children. And it is really combining to give us one of the most desolate holiday seasons that I can remember. About a week ago, I was one of the 7 a.m. shoppers in one of the stores, and I was so surprised when I got there that I was the only person waiting for the store to open. And that told me a lot right there. I mean, it's a difficult time for people.
Chandra, what about Atlanta?
I think it's going on across the country, and Atlanta is no exception. People are spending less. People are cutting back. People are focusing on the difference between wants and needs. I know lots of people, obviously, in the media industry are looking at maybe doing career changes. Also, people are picking up part-time jobs, and people are getting more creative. They're figuring out ways to save money and to keep, you know, their money closer to them and keep that money in their purses and pocketbooks, because they know that, you know, there's a chance of losing jobs. And the fact that after the holidays, I think it's really going to take a major dive.
We're going to talk more about the media business in a second, including some big news. But first, I want to just quickly get your feelings on the ongoing case of Governor Rod Blagojevich of Illinois, who, of course, was arrested on a criminal complaint that said he tried to sell President-elect Obama's Senate seat to the highest bidder. There are ongoing negotiations over how the government should handle his position, whether he should be basically given the boot. Are people following this, Chandra, in Atlanta?
Oh, definitely. I think obviously because the close ties to President-elect Barack Obama, in the sense of it being in his state, and also being, you know, his Senate seat, definitely there's been a lot of, you know, talk about this. But it's interesting because there may be some naysayers or some pundits who would try to tie President-elect Obama to this, or in some ways implicate, you know, something. But it is very clear that he and President-elect Obama were never close. They kind of had always had a cordial, kind of distant relationship, with the exception of some support from a Chicago businessman who is under federal indictment. But a lot of people are talking about this just because it is one of the most salacious scandals to hit that state in recent years. And obviously, with all 50 members of the Senate Democratic Caucus signing a letter urging Blagojevich to quit immediately, it lets you know that they are definitely trying to be proactive and take a stand on this.
All right, Deirdre, you get the last word before our break. Just quickly, do you think that Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr., because his name has even come up in the context of this whole situation, whether or not he's the Senate candidate number five who was willing to do pay for play, do you think that his chances of getting the Senate seat are over?
I think it's really difficult, and I think the best thing that could happen for him would be some of the answers to the questions coming out as fast as possible. I don't think the questions can come out fast enough. And I was speaking to someone about this, and they were saying, you know, after all of the work he's done to build his reputation, to live to his name and beyond, it seems like there's a cloud there now, and I think it's going to be difficult. But the best thing that could probably happen for him would be for this to be cleared up quickly.
All right. Well, Deirdre and Chandra, stay with us. We are going to take a break. Come back with more news on our Reporters Roundtable and also look at the religious diversity of the Black community. This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. We are back with our Reporters Roundtable. And on today's panel, we've got Deirdre Childress. She's the editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend Magazine. And Chandra Thomas, a freelance print journalist based in Atlanta. I want to move on to a topic that we are all very familiar with. It's pink slip fever. And now the tech and media companies are really suffering. And this week, Yahoo began laying off 1,500 workers to cut expenses by $400 million a year. And our network, National Public Radio, has not been spared. We have had to cut more than 60 positions and two shows, including News and Notes. NPR has cited budget constraints in this economic downturn, and we will be on the air, I should say, until March 20th, here delivering the news with the usual alacrity and spirit. But these are tough times for all of us. Chandra, you mentioned that a lot of journalists are saying, hey, why am I in this biz? What do you think?
Definitely, the media industry is facing an unprecedented economic challenge, and obviously the country is. And I think what a lot of people forget, of course, there is a public service that is administered by the media, but at the end of the day, it's a business. And as people spend less, companies cannot afford to advertise, and obviously the ultimate result is a loss of jobs. As you mentioned, Yahoo laying off 1,500 workers. We have the Miami Herald being sold off by its parent company, McClatchy. We also have the Tribune Company filing for bankruptcy protection this week. And even here in Atlanta, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this week announced that it's reducing its circulation and a net reduction of 156 full and part-time positions. Atlanta Magazine, my former employer, laying off several people in August. And then Atlanta Peach, which is a monthly magazine, or was a monthly magazine in Atlanta, unexpectedly closing. So as we see, this is a business. And as ad revenues slow up, there's going to be a loss of jobs.
Deirdre, some people, you know, basically have said, look, this is a time for greater diversity in the media industry than ever because of the changing demographics of the country, because of the recent election, because of the dire straits that we're in, and the fact that we need to represent the needs, concerns, news coming from all communities. At the same time, you have the National Organization of Black Journalists and many other groups saying it looks like we're going to see a shrinkage in the pool of Black reporters, reporters of color, reporters from many different backgrounds. How do you think that our business is going to try to address the needs for broad-based reporting at a time like this when there appears to be very little money in the business?
Well, I am the national secretary for the Black journalists, and I think it's really at the forefront of all of our minds in the organization, because the first thing that seems to suffer in this kind of cutback is diversity. And one of the things we're doing is really pushing the idea that all of our folks need to retrain themselves for multimedia. And that's going to be difficult in this year, because if the media companies are cutting back, they're cutting back their sponsorship. And that means that we don't have as much money to fund training for our members. So it's going to be a big balancing act, and we're going to tackle a lot of these issues when we meet in January. One of the things that we're already doing to help our members is we have a committee that is extremely focused on reinvention. We're coming up with, you know, solutions like free conference calls where we talk to people about the layoffs. We're talking to some folks right now about links to different job sites. We are really tackling this from a multi-prong approach. It's just been so devastating that amongst the board, we don't even have an opportunity to call everyone that we hear is getting laid off anymore. That's how widespread and how painful this is. And it's really difficult. But if you think of the auto industry and how you need to train and reinvent people for new jobs, you need seed money. And that's going to be a critical thing for our retraining of journalists. A lot of our journalists may still be able to be on the air, to be in print, if they freelance for some positions. But again, that loops back around to you're freelancing and you're trying to make, you know, three or four paychecks equal one. So it's definitely a very difficult time. I work at the Enquirer and our sister paper, the Daily News, this week. Our guild announced that we're going to have about 35 layoffs, and that we'll probably lose some jobs in management. And that makes it really difficult. I mean, the idea that you're sitting at your desk and a vice president or someone is going to tap you on the shoulder in about a week or so and say that by the end of the year, you're not working there anymore is really, really straining folks and making it a difficult time. But the best thing we can all do
under while you're under the gun. You know?
Yes, exactly. And I know you guys are feeling that. And when we saw the news about NPR, we all just, you know, took a step back because we've had such great sponsorship from your company and from your organization. And it just, you know, it really has an impact on folks in our industry. And we're going to have to figure out ways to do it, new ways to do it, and faster and definitely cheaper ways.
And Chandra, we got the chance to actually spend some time with you when we went down and broadcast from Atlanta. That was something that was very important to us.
Yes.
Do you think that, you know, a lot of people who I speak to about people's priorities say that the news is not one of them? There is no evidence that there's an erosion of NPR's audience, which is another whole economic question. It's a money, it's a revenue issue as opposed to an audience issue at this point. But in general, do you think people invest in being news consumers at times like this when they have so many other priorities?
I think that people are now in survival mode. And when you're in survival mode, I think that that becomes less of a priority. You're thinking, how do I keep food on the table? How do I keep my job? How do I pay for gas and those type of things? I think that people do want news. I think part of this is also indicative of a shift in our industry in that there are so many more news sources, and newspapers in particular are being hit very hard. in this shift. And I think that as my fellow panelists mentioned, a lot of journalists are having to reinvent themselves and also think multimedia. I recently coordinated a student journalism workshop at Clark Atlanta University, and one thing I emphasize to the students is gone are the days of I work for a paper, I work for a TV station or a radio station. Multimedia is the solution, and I encourage them to be multimedia, because the traditional media as we know it is transitioning into the whole multimedia format. And to be prepared, journalists will have to retrain themselves, reinvent themselves to do video, to take pictures, and to, you know, deal with audio and video clips. And it's just, I think the economic situation is exacerbating it, but also I think this shift was going on in our industry for quite some time.
Well, we certainly have been fortunate enough to have a great team of people working on our web property, News and Views. It's nprnewsandviews.org, and so many people have come on to share with us their thoughts about the media, the economy, offered themselves up to come on our air. And also we're having an active discussion of the show and NPR and just having a conversation. So I want to make sure people know about that. And this conversation will continue. I really thank both of you for joining us.
Thank you. It was great being here.
Thanks. We were speaking with Chandra Thomas, freelance print journalist based in Atlanta. She's written for Essence, People, and Time.com, and she joined us from the studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting. We also had Deirdre Childress, editor of the Philadelphia Inquirer's Weekend magazine. She's also the national secretary for the National Association for Black Journalists, and she joined us from Audio Post Studios in Philadelphia. This is NPR News.